Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Seeing a little bit of this back and forth about the Robbie Ray deal, I think Giants fans are fairly excited about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit not as negative as I thought.
Is that more telling of the state of the Giants?
That's true, but also, I guess at the same time, the fact that you are getting a Cy Young winner. And in this day and age, not that it's even the same sport, but in this day and age, Tommy John isn't what it used to be.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you can, for two guys, again, you're ready to move on from Disco, DeSclafani, and Mitch Haniger couldn't stay on the field anyway, just send them back to Seattle. I don't know if it's breaking because it is a former Cy Young winner, but yeah, I guess it's fairly low risk, possible high reward.
Right.
So,
but it's also, again, he's not getting in until after the All-Star break.
That's
so it's like
still insane
kind
to
of
me.
Need. And like, I mean, I think you're supposed to be the baseball expert here. And yeah. I think you asked me the other day, have I missed it? Or have the Giants just not like they haven't done anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, it's just interesting that this is really the biggest profile move that they've made this offseason.
They got the, you know, outfielder.
Of course, right. The outfielder, right.
Robbie Ray now. So it's a consolation prize.
Sure.
Right? That's what it is. And, you know, if you're a Giants fan, you know, you get Young Hoo Lee and you add him who is baller in the KBO, and now you go out and get Robbie Ray, who signed, I'm looking here, a 5-year. He has an opt out in, well, that's
24,
so he has an opt out,
yeah.
I believe, on Spotrac, he has an opt out at the end of 2025. So you'd have him, actually, no.
Pass 2020, said
24.
Yeah.
So you made this move and you're just hoping that he comes back. And honestly, I think what it is, if I'm trying to read Farhan's mind, it's you're not coming back until after, possibly after the All-Star break.
Right.
You're probably not going to – your market isn't going to be crazy, so there's a good chance that you don't opt out.
Right.
You know
yes,
what
that
I mean?
Makes sense.
And,
right.
and you
– you'll stick it out for a little bit further.
Exactly.
Since you didn't get like a full run.
Exactly. Right. So I – but he could say, you know, what if he balls out?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
if he balls out and somebody wants to throw him the bag? I think that the timing of it – so this is more of a long-term move. So we'll see what happens with the Giants as we – get back to Kings talk and their battle tonight with the Toronto Raptors, a new look Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors, as you said, they are 12th in the East. They are 14-20. And really, when we do these breakdowns, we'll look at offensive efficiency or offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating. There's really no point to do that today because it's a new team.
Right.
It's a
new team with
new players. Dennis Schroeder, he's coming off the bench. You have obviously, you know, Emmanuel Quickley, who they're going to try to make, I guess, the term, their franchise point guard, see what he can
no
do
idea.
There. And then you have, obviously, R.J. Barrett, who, you know, what was interesting about when we spoke with Sean Woodley, you can catch that on the Sacktown Sports app. You can catch that on sacktownsports.com, or you can rewind there on the YouTube as well. I thought it was interesting that Sean Woodley was not more excited for Emmanuel Quickley than he was for R.J. Barrett. That was one of the most interesting things I thought from the interview.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Toronto's excited in the sense of, like Sean said, like he is a local Toronto guy and, you know, he's the hometown. He's one of the best Canadian talents there is in the NBA and for him to play for the hometown team is just a cool opportunity. But I mean, yeah, R.J. Barrett's been a little bit disappointing in his NBA career. I think from all that I gathered after listening to the post-mortem of the trade from the Knicks side, the big thing with R.J. was really kind of similar to, I guess you can maybe equate it to a Kevin Huerter problem where they got to the point where Brunson was clearly the number one, Julius Randle was the number two, and RJ Barrett was kind of just asked to be that guy to stand in the corner and hit threes. The problem was he wouldn't hit those threes at a high enough clip for the open shots. And, you know, they just kind of needed more out of him. And I think he's just better off having the ball in his hand more in Toronto if that opportunity presents itself. I just think he's not really a shooter. He's not a knockdown shooter like I think he was kind of projected to be when he came out. And I just feel like he's a lot more of a point forward. And I don't know if he's going to get that too, though. Yeah.
He can create, though.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. He's a point. I would say he's more of a point forward, ball in his hands, run the offense through him. But I would even argue in Toronto, I think Scotty Barnes is going to have that role first and foremost. Quickley's nice, though. That's the thing is Emmanuel Quickley is a bucket. Mm-hmm. He's a dude who's more than capable of putting up 20 a night, especially in today's NBA. And, I think he's a guy who, you know, yesterday I talked a little about Malik Monk, but, like, that's a guy who if he goes to another situation, he's going to be one of the best players on a team. Like, we would say Malik Monk is probably our second or third best player on the team this season. Similar story with Emmanuel Quickley, where just because he was coming off the bench, he was still the Knicks' third best player. And if you put him in a situation where he's going to start, he's probably going to be the Raptors' second best player this year.
Yeah. And, you know, you have an East. The East is, would you call the East very, it's really top heavy. Would that be the East, right?
Yeah, definitely. With Milwaukee, Sixers, and Boston definitely being that A tier, it's kind of everybody else after that. I mean, you have the Cavs, you have the Knicks, you know.
I'm looking here. You know, Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, and then basically everybody else.
It's really everybody else. And that's where the Knicks are going to try and get into, I think, with, you know, everybody kind of saying that the OG trade was the trade before the actual trade they want to make. To me, that's the Knicks are maybe the next team that can, I guess if there's four, it's not as much top heavy as it is just good, like, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, so, I wonder how much the East will kind of level out as the deadline approaches. And who knows? I mean, Donovan Mitchell might be a piece that falls out, and maybe that kind of re-top heavies it because that makes Cleveland fall out.
To the Knicks?
Could be anywhere. Could be to the – I mean, Knicks are definitely the most likely suspect. It sounds like everybody – all the reporting is Donovan Mitchell really only wants to play for the Knicks. So
how can
that'd be
you,
the most likely spot. Kind of Carmelo situation 2.0, though.
I don't see Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson playing together.
I don't either. I definitely don't either. But I don't see Donovan Mitchell playing well with anybody. So he's guard
you
Julius Randle.
Not- Yeah.
He's just going to
shoot. But then you can have them all on the same team.
No, totally. It'll be fun.
All you're missing all you're missing is D'Lo.
Yeah. D'Lo I'm sure he's on the way. Don't you worry. D'Lo will find himself in a big market.
Yeah, so you have the Raptors at 12, the Bulls at 11, the Hawks at 10, the Nets at 9. And, you know, there is a report on the Hawks as well. And the report was that the only two players not in trade talks for the Hawks was Trae Young and Jalen Johnson, right? Mm. And Jalen Johnson, we saw up close and personal. Yeah. He was coming off injury when he faced the Kings, and he was balling.
Athlete.
Right? That dude can do some things.
Yeah.
And you know what? As Trae Young has said, you know, a lot of people, this was the offseason of Trae Young's underrated, Trae Young's this, Trae Young's that. Do you think there's any part of the Hawks that feel like they can't move Trae Young because of that trade with Luka? I mean, if you actually look at it, if they wanted to start fresh, you feel like they really believe that Trae Young is untouchable? Or do you feel like we kind of can't move Trae Young yet? Not because he's not a good player, but we have to give this a real go.
Yeah, I think it's that. I think that they feel like Trae is – I mean, they made the Eastern Conference Finals with Trae Young as their best player. Like, I mean, whether or not they deserve to be there or not is a different conversation. But I think they think that, you know, Trae Young is as close to Steph Curry as you're going to get, I guess, in a post-Steph era, if there is one around the corner. And I think their hope is that Trae can be a version of what Steph was, but – definitely, obviously, not Steph. No one can be Steph. But if he can kind of be a 1B on a finals team, I think that's ultimately what they're hoping for. Because, I mean, Trae still does put up ridiculous numbers. Like, the dude is about as close as you're going to get to somebody averaging 30 and 10 in a season. But he definitely has his liabilities. And also, it's like, what do you – if you're going to move on from Trae Young, what are you really hoping to get? Because he is kind of that guy who puts up crazy numbers, and so you feel like he's got a certain value, but, you know, at the end of the day, is he truly one of those – is he a guy who can be a 1B on a championship team? I don't know. I kind of view him and Cat in that same category of, okay, you're definitely really – like, you're not some scrub or some just a guy. You're definitely somebody who has a definite value, but I think – beauty's in the eye of the beholder with those two guys.
Yeah, that's fair enough. When we bring up the Atlanta Hawks, Scooter 916 on the Sack Chat says, great, bring back Bogey. Bring back Bogdanovich.
Yes. Love it.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, if everybody is available. You know, the Capellas of the world, yeah. I don't think... Maybe for McGee.
Yeah, exactly. Like if he's
I'll take him over McGee, but I don't I think they're gonna want more back.
Yeah. And also like Atlanta's in a weird spot where it's like I wouldn't know what to give them. Like they can maybe use a Harrison Barnes. Like that's maybe a spot where they can use some tightening up, some.
But that's what's weird to me.
Kevin Huerter back.
Give Red Velvet come on home.
You can remove the protection on the pick and just say, just take our first round pick, forget the top 10 protected or whatever it is.
Bogdanovich for Kevin Huerter.
There's something there.
Bing, bam, boom. That's what's weird about this report coming out about the Hawks and everybody being available besides Trey and Jalen Johnson. Trey's 25. I mean, he's young, but you're... you're just going to get a bunch of draft picks try to be good when Trey's 30?
Yeah, and I mean, they're not doing well this season, right? I mean, no. I think I listed them as the 10 seed right now. So, I mean, it's not like they're trending towards anything special. I mean, they're kind of in this no man's land. And they just brought in Quinn Snyder halfway through last year to be different. And that hasn't worked out. I think it definitely gave them a boost last year, but it hasn't seemed like Quinn Snyder is really – or that team has taken to Quinn Snyder, because I do think Quinn Snyder's a really good coach. I would – put more of the blame on the personnel, and I don't know what's going on with DeJounte Murray right now, but he's the hottest name, that's, I think, from Atlanta right now. But yeah, it's a weird situation for sure. I wouldn't know what to give them. They don't know what they want. That's the thing, is like, because they do have a lot of really, especially from the Kings' perspective, we talk about teams that have tons of forwards. You got AJ Griffin, a dude who was drafted a couple years ago out of Duke. You got Sadiq Bey, who's somebody who the Kings liked when he was in Detroit, and you know, he's a scorer, he's a wing, he's an okay kind of rotation piece. Who else? They've got somebody else, too, that's not R.J. Hunter, DeAndre Hunter as well.
Yeah.
So they have a ton of forwards that I think the Kings could really use, and I agree with the text line, too. I think Bogey would be a great piece for the Kings. I mean, when we talk about a guy who can have the ball in their hand, but at the same time shoot the ball, like he could, we saw it in Sacramento. He's got some playmaking capabilities. He could definitely average. I could see him averaging like 5 or 6 assists in this system. And, you know, maybe you could, not that I think it would be for the better, but you could also get Malik off the ball a little bit more and, you know, use him a little bit more creatively off the ball. I think that makes a lot of sense.
You could take a couple chances there, because the way I see it is, you know, with Bogdanovich, if you're going down this path, you do have to take a look at Sasha.
Yeah, sure.
He'd have to be in one of these deals here, because you have a EuroLeague MVP. Yeah.
And you're just not playing him.
You're just not playing him right now. So we got to get to a break. When we get back, we will continue the conversation. Can the Kings keep on rolling? How does this report from Jake Fisher that the Kings have been calling opposing front offices to gauge the value of Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter in a package, how does this affect the game tonight? How does it affect rotations? And how does it affect the locker room? Not at all. We'll talk about it. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Reminder, the 49ers and Rams game this Sunday will be airing on KNCI HD2, starting with the pregame at 12:25 and kickoff at 1:25, because The Kings will be beating the Pelicans on the Sactown Sports airwaves. I'm just going to keep saying that until Chris Watkins believes it.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, like, it's just, it's a fool me once, you know, fool me twice, fool me three times. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get fooled a fourth time. So I'll believe it when I see it. I'll just believe it when I see it.
Fool me can't get fooled again.
Can't get fooled again.
Absolutely. That's fair enough. From the Sac Chat, kind of a good point, and we would have to look up the other EuroLeague MVPs from Crown Royal. EuroLeague has an MVP every single year. How many of them are NBA players?
There's a good handful of them. I mean, here, I can pull it up. I mean, we did this all throughout the offseason when talking about Sasha. I mean, it was a logical question for sure, but you know, there's a lot of guys, even Nemanja Bjelica, a guy who, you know, the Kings had and won a championship with the Warriors as well. Like, he spent some time. Definitely, it's not super common for these guys to become, you know, mega ultra stars or anything like that in the NBA.
Right. Good rotation pieces.
Yeah, it's just about finding a role, finding a niche. And I think it's Sasha is also still in his first year. He's in his first, 3 months of playing NBA basketball. Give the dude some time. As we go through, here we go. I have a list in front of me here.
He's 28, by the way, Sasha.
He's 28. So you have Milos Teodosic, who had a cup of coffee in the NBA. He was a point guard, backup point guard for the Clippers. You have Andre Kirilenko, won EuroLeague MVP in 2011-2012, which I think was like after his NBA career. Sergio Rodriguez is somebody who's had a cup of tea. 2014-2015, yeah, Nemanja Bjelica won MVP. Nando DeColo, somebody who had a cup of coffee. Luka won EuroLeague MVP, obviously. Nikola Mirotic was really the one that everyone was pointing to when it came to Sasha. I think that's really the role and the kind of, I don't want to say ceiling, but like the tier of player I think we see as Sasha's ceiling there. And Nikola Mirotic, don't get it twisted, was a really good player. I mean, he was a starter for those Chicago Bulls teams and a sixth man after that for some really good Bulls teams, so... I'm not giving up hope on Sasha. Well,
when did Luka win? Was he 16?
He was. Yeah, he was like 17 when he won EuroLeague MVP. So, another reason why I was not too happy when the Kings passed on him.
Yeah. Well, you got to let it go.
Do I? Do we actually have to? Because I've thought about it a lot, and my life would have been a whole lot different if everybody's life would have been a whole lot different if the Kings drafted Luka. I mean, I think about it in terms of also like if the Kings moved, it's kind of the similar breath where, you know, if the Kings move, you and I aren't sitting here, right now today. Mm-hmm. The team doesn't exist. There's no reason for Sacramento to have local radio. We probably you're probably still in Alan Mita and I'm working for the state or something like that. If the Kings draft Luka Doncic, like there's probably a couple Western Conference playoff appearances that we've been through. Who knows, you know, if Styles and Watkins now becomes a much bigger show because the Kings are playing so well. And who knows, maybe, you know, Frankie Cardicelli gets signed by ESPN because they need to sign more Kings writers because they had none before. You see what happens with the Warriors. That's why I can't let it go, because it doesn't just mean the basketball stuff, which we're still very much in the process of figuring out what we really missed out on.
But Chris, look what it is now. The Kings are still in a great position.
Okay.
You got De'Aaron Fox. You got Sabonis.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, teams miss all the time.
Coming from a guy who four titles in, what, 7 years? 8 years? Right? It's different. It's the little guy.
Yeah. You don't have many opportunities to get a generational talent. You don't have those opportunities. Don't come every 3 years.
But
it comes once in my lifetime.
But Chris,
I'm thinking about myself selfishly. I am around Luka's age. He could have been the best player on my local team for my entire life.
Okay, but here's a question. It eventually does come back around. And I know they haven't won anything yet, but you can't feel this. You can feel this way, but think about the T-Wolves who drafted two guards before Steph Curry.
Right, and you just brought it up, 15 years later? Yeah, you don't get over those things.
But what I'm saying is
full circle.
Now they're the one seed.
It 15 years later, Alan!
And it's the first third of the season.
But that's my point. Look at the Kings.
They haven't done anything.
But look at the Kings.
They've been Patrick notoriously the worst scores table.
Oh, that's
the
true.
They got the eighth seed.
The Kings have powered through, and they're
you
still
call
in
that
a,
powering.
But 15, they're still in a good position. Dude. They're still in a good position.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on
and
this.
And they, Luka hasn't won anything yet.
Sure.
And he might have with the – I mean he's, Chris didn't even say he'd win anything with the Kings. He's like a couple Western Conference Finals, which would have been literally life-changing for him.
I guess the reason this is kind of surprising to me is only because – the Kings don't stink. If the Kings stunk,
I mean, they stunk.
They did.
They did stink. They last did year until, was the first year they didn't stink.
And it sucked.
But luck, I'm just saying.
And
they
even
don't
now,
still,
people are saying there's a ceiling.
They don't still stink.
You didn't experience the city and like the population here when they were horrible.
Yeah. The it's Marvin different. Bagley stuff was also really tough.
There's a lot more positivity now with the Beam. The whole city didn't buy in to the Kings before this.
Yeah.
Right? The whole city's in now. You look at the Holiday Inn across the street, they got to light the Beam banner.
Yeah.
You got every building, every like liquor store is lit in purple. It's there's Beam drinks all over the city.
No, but that's
that
my
was
whole
not,
point. But that's my whole point. Now, the way you're reacting now, that's why I'm surprised because, hey, you missed on Luka. All right.
But I mean, fine. If it's good now, how good could it have been right now?
I guess.
Especially when we talk
brighter?
About like all of this stuff
beam,
of
the Beam goes.
Beam probably
higher?
Never existed.
Beam probably doesn't exist because the Kings win in those years.
So you're finally happy, Alan.
Yeah.
No, but, I don't know what it is with you today, Nate, but we're not cool. It's beef on a Friday.
Okay.
I
mean,
I love it.
This no, you don't
I was
love it, Chris.
From you and Kevin O'Connor. I was hoping to get this from
get
you
him
and
on.
KOC today.
We gotta get
Let's
to
get
a
that
break.
Vert O'Connor on.
We got to get to a break. When we get back, Jake Kevin Fisher Overt. Was on the Drive, guys. So we have that audio. That was yesterday. And Sam Amick was on the morning show. So we will have that audio for you, and we will react to all that. At 1 o'clock, we are talking Pro Bowl for the Niners and who got snubbed. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Getting into some of the guests that we had on these here airwaves and what they had to say about some of the trade talks. Not to just do too much of the trade talks, but ultimately, the game is tonight. We believe the Kings will continue to keep it rolling. We have our dog segment at 1:30 as we discuss what they're going to do. I think the Kings are going to come out and, you know, really try to solidify what they did last game and continue their growth. This is also a game that I could see them losing because we had the conversation yesterday about whether or not they turned a corner, and this is about this is the type of game where they'll drop and then they'll win on Sunday and get that first win against the Pelicans. So, Chris, you are the one who talked me into it yesterday on yesterday's show as far as, hey, this is a small stretch to where, what are they? They've won three of their last four.
Yeah, technically.
And you can get to. Yeah.
You can also say they've lost three of their last six, but. I like to say win three of your last four.
And you can keep it rolling here and get to four of your last five and really get that momentum. The run, we were doing the comparisons with the round table, doing the comparisons with the Drive guys as well. And the run was pretty soon here. Then January was a good month for the Kings last season, as Kyle Draper said, that he went through and saw, okay, when did the guys get rolling here? So this is the time. This is the time. I know the Raptors have won a couple games, but they're still in the midst of trying to figure out who their new identity is. And net ratings and offensive ratings and defensive ratings don't matter because they are a different team now.
Right. No, but I mean, Mike Brown, kind of the Kings are actually in a, I wouldn't say a perfect spot, but I guess better than the first two opponents that got to play Toronto, because at least there is some sort of film on them that you can maybe look at in terms of what they're doing. I mean, the first opponent obviously has nothing to go off of. The second opponent, you know, has the first game to go off of, but they're still probably implementing a lot of new stuff. After two games, you've probably seen a good bit of what they can install in the time that they've had. So you have the best picture of what this team can be in terms of the Raptors, that is. And so in a weird way, if the Kings did their work, which I know they always have one assistant coach assigned to each game to kind of be the head of scouting for. So as long as the coaches did their jobs, they should have a good idea, or at least somewhat of an idea, as good of an idea as you can have at this point, of what the Raptors are trying to bring. And I mean, we know it's going to be a lot of Pascal. We know it's going to be probably a lot of Emmanuel Quickley. And then you can't forget about Scottie Barnes, who, yeah, I mean, Sean was on earlier and he was raving about, and I've heard it not just from Sean, but from really all around the league. Everyone's been talking about how Scottie Barnes has just really taken a similar leap to De'Aaron from behind the arc. And that's scary. That's really scary for a guy like Scottie. So it's you know, the Raptors got some players for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how the Kings kind of match it, though, because they are the better team. The Kings are.
Right. And I'm very excited to see Scottie Barnes and really that leap. A lot of people have been comparing his leap to hopefully what will happen with Keegan and his third year leap.
Right.
And hopefully you get a Kings win, but excited to see what these guys bring to the table. The 49ers and Rams game this Sunday will be airing on KNCI HD2, starting with the pregame at 12:25 and kickoff at 1:25, because your Sacramento Kings will, and I say will, be beating the Sacramento Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans this Sunday. Let's get to the sound from Sam Amick, who joined our guys in the morning show, and him talking about basically what the feeling is around the league with what the Kings are going to do.
I mean, around the league, it does feel like it's people are wondering, you know, what the Kings will do, not if they will do something. But, and we've kind of already attacked this thing from every angle. Just no news obviously has broken. I don't know in terms of the bigger stuff, the bigger names that we've talked about, you know, other than the draft picks. You know, I've been having people ask me around the league, like, who are they willing to give up on their roster? There's nobody that really moves the needle that they are willing to give up on this roster. There's just not. I don't think Barnes moved the needle. I don't think Kevin Herter moves the needle, or Davion Mitchell. And really, as you know, it's kind of a Sabonis, Fox, and Keegan Murray, and everybody else should look over their shoulder a little bit.
Interesting.
That was our guy Sam Amick from The Athletic, and joined us, as all guests and callers do, on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Yeah, it's the same stalemate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's been the word. This whole time. Yeah. And, you know, I was excited when I saw the OG move. I'm excited to see all this stuff come out. It feels like this is going to be a really exciting trade deadline. But how many times do we get duped into this and then nothing really happens?
Right.
A couple pieces, but no blockbuster deals. I mean, OG could end up being the biggest deal. I don't know what the Knicks have, what else they have up their sleeve. So I just think the Kings are a bit stuck, because you're not going to sell your future even with picks, right? And you just have two guys in Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes that don't really excite anyone enough to bring somebody in that would excite the Kings.
Right, which is what leads me to believe, and it's what I've been hoping for this whole time, that if Sam is saying this around the league, it sounds like the Kings are incredibly active and are just throwing out those two guys, it sounds to me like the Kings are more so probably going to get to the understanding that this is going to be a fringe move. Like, it's not going to be a Pascal. It's not going to be some Zach. I mean, who knows? I think Jake Fisher in some audio we're going to play also does mention something about Zach LaVine in the Kings' interest. But to me, if they're going to continue to just throw old reliable out there and just say Harrison Barnes, Kevin Herter, and that's it, maybe you can get Davion Mitchell if you're throwing in a second player or something, I just don't think you're going to get anything besides a maybe a fringe starter, but it's more than likely just going to be a rotation piece, which I don't think is bad. Like, I think some of the Kings' rotation pieces, like a Kevin Herter, like a Harrison Barnes, and like a Davion Mitchell, and you can really throw any of the other rotation guys who aren't Trey Lyles or Malik, like, they've disappointed. And so I think if you're just saying, hey, let's just try and see what this thing looks like with different role players in these spots, I think that that to me seems like this A, the safest thing to do, and B, it's kind of looking like it's going to be your best option.
Well, and you discuss these Eastern Conference teams that many Sacramento Kings fans don't get to watch as much. These games are earlier. You just got life going on. The Kings are playing
too. We're about to experience it next week. It's like all 4 o'clock starts next week.
I'm weirdly excited for that as well. But, you know, going back to our guy, Brendan Nunes, Sactown Sports Kings Insider, and the article that he dropped last week. If you haven't seen it yet, if you haven't read it yet, go check it out. It's great stuff. And you talk about the potential trades. The one that's sticking out to me, another guy that maybe people don't get to watch as much, is Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah.
Because that's if you're stuck here and you have Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, the Sacramento's 2026 first round, which is top four protected, and Portland's 2025 second round, Dorian Finney-Smith is a guy who, you know, he's shooting 44.8% from three on 5.5 attempts per game.
That's incredible.
But he's basically a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Defense focused. And he's been on good teams, too. He's been on the Mavericks team that went to the Western Conference Finals.
So that's a name to where if you are wondering, hey, guys, we keep hearing the same name. You keep hearing Pascal. You keep hearing Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
You check out this article, some of the deeper dives into the names that might make more sense, because you're not. We all know, as they gauge interest right now, the Kings do, apparently that broke today from Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. As we gauge that, as they gauge that interest, it's not going to be it doesn't feel like it's going to be. They're going to have to dig deeper if you want a Zach LaVine or if you want a Pascal Siakam. If they don't, you could get somebody in Dorian Finney-Smith who, this is Brendan's words here in the article, could be Sacramento's equivalent of Aaron Gordon in Denver. So that's something to really look at. We'll get to the Jake Fisher audio when we get back. More to talk about, more trade talk, more Kings talk. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, the bad boys of the midday. I haven't said that in a while. Taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield doing a great job for us behind the glass on this feel-good Friday. I think we feel good. We're feeling good about the Kings taking on the Raptors from the 666. Had on Sean Woodley, Locked On Raptors, to talk about the plan in Toronto. And Sean is very happy with how the Raptors have looked in their first couple games with the new look of RJ Barrett and especially Emmanuel Quickley. So this is an opportunity for us out here on the West Coast to see what these guys from Toronto have to offer. Let's continue the conversation about the trade talk. So busy week for Jake Fisher, because he goes on the Drive Guys, and then this article drops
this morning.
This morning. Yeah. So Jake Fisher. So only here, Sactown Sports, you're getting the exclusive before. Remember back in the day, before Spotify, before Apple Music, your friends that went on the websites and they had the music first.
Yes.
Right? Hey, hand me an aux cord because I got something you haven't heard before.
Shout out hotnewhiphop.com.
That is us. All of them. Hot New Hip Hop, that was my jam.
That was a time.
By the way, I had good music all day. That was another one. So that is what Sactown Sports is. We're getting you stuff before it drops. So let's hear from Jake Fisher and how aggressive he feels that the Kings are going to be.
Yeah, they were described to me as one of the teams most aggressive and active in trying to get OG Anunoby. I think Indiana was the proverbial number two that finished behind New York, and Sacramento, I think, was right there. I think there's still a team that's being considered for Pascal Siakam right now. The LaVine stuff, you know, to me, I'm crediting that more to Monty McNair being someone who's come from the Daryl Morey tree in Houston, where anytime a star player becomes available, you make the call and you poke your head in and kind of keep yourself at least involved, thinking, you know, what opportunity might present itself? How can we even get involved in something on the margins if it becomes a 2 or 3 team deal? And I think that's a situation that Levine and his representation in Clutch Sports looked at and circled and liked, because, you know, they have a pretty good situation there with De'Aaron Fox already running the show. So I think that was more of an exploratory thing than anything else, but they do seem to be pretty attached to names of front court players, you know, guys who would in theory fill Harrison Barnes' spot, you know, the Pascals, the OGs. I don't really see a ton of other players like that right now on the board, but one to keep an eye on could be someone like Jeremy Grant in Portland.
Yes.
There's a lot there.
And I just want to talk about the end. It all comes back to Jeremy Grant.
Do I have to do this?
Yes, you do.
Okay, well then,
because I like Jeremy Grant.
Oh my gosh, I don't even have. All I have to type in is G E R and Jeremy Grant contract pops up on my YouTube, on my Google search. 5 years, $160 million for Jeremy Grant.
How much would you pay for a parade?
That is not getting me a parade.
You don't know that.
I do know that. You I don't do know that. That Jeremy Grant is not the move that's going to make the Sacramento Kings NBA title winner.
I like him, man.
Okay, that's fine. You can like him. You don't have to like him for $30+ million per year.
Yeah,
like that. That's ridiculous. And especially when you're talking about, like, would you rather have Jeremy Grant or Kyle Kuzma?
Mm. Well, the fact that it's a question means to go with Kyle Kuzma.
Right. Well, what if I told you Kyle Kuzma is going to make, like, at his peak, like $8 million less dollars than Jeremy Grant?
We'll go with Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, exactly. It's just Jeremy Grant makes no sense at all. I have no idea what Portland – I guess Portland was still in the mindset of trying to keep Dame happy and maybe saying, like, hey, Dame, if you change your mind and want to stay, like, we do have a couple NBA guys, like, not just your Shaden Sharps and Anfernee Simons. I just mean, like – young guys.
You know,
I mean,
you know
have
what
like
you sound like right
vets.
Now? No, you know what you sound like right now?
What
hey,
I
Mom,
sound?
I want McDonald's. We have McDonald's at home. McDonald's is Giannis. We have McDonald's at home. That's Jeremy Grant.
I guess. Yeah. I didn't hear me say that, but I guess if that's what you heard. I just don't like – I mean, I think Jeremy Grant's a cool player. I think he's a role player. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a star. And if you're paying a dude $30 million a year – he better be doing some star stuff, you know?
Yeah. All right. Let's hear from our guy, friend of the show, or soon to be friend of the show, Kevin O'Connor. And you found this basically.
He just dropped this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what is he kind of getting into here?
So this is finally, he does talk about Sabonis a little bit. We cut that out because honestly, all that matters is the trade stuff at this point. He does give Sabonis a little, he gives him credit for his offense and then completely discredits his defense. But we cut all that out. And this is Kevin O'Connor talking about the Kings fit with Pascal, them being in on OG. And then what Kevin kind of thinks of how far the Kings are from finally being in true championship contention.
If, like, you're the Kings, and if you're able to turn Harrison Barnes into Pascal Siakam, that doesn't necessarily make you the favorite, but if you're getting a guy who, over his last 5 games, is averaging 30-plus points on absurd efficiency, and who, over his last 25-30 games, is averaging, like, 25 points and dominating ever since his slow start, Siakam is a major player. Shams reported last month that they had interest in OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam. My understanding is their OG interest wasn't much more than just like calls. I think their interest is actually in Siakam. That's when they'll put draft picks on the table. That's when there'd actually be real interest in making a competitive offer, which they didn't to compete with the Knicks. They are a move or two away from being in the conversation. So why would you not try to go for it before Denver gets even better with their youth, before Oklahoma City cashes in on those picks? You've got to go for it.
That is the argument. And, you know, a lot of people yesterday on our SAC chat was saying, hey, don't let Draper come on these airwaves and you guys just let Draper say whatever he wants and say and just agree. And it's not that we disagreed because we never just agree. We understand what he is saying as far as the Kings are better.
Yeah.
I think that is more of, I don't want to speak for you, but my take on that is, yeah, the Kings can get better, But other teams are continuing to get better too.
Right.
You could argue just a higher clip.
Better too doesn't mean you're where you need to be.
You can't sit there and just say, okay, we just got to get a little bit better every year, every year, every year. If other teams are taking
leaps.
It's
a 10-year build.
Right. It's a 10-year build. And that's basically a 10-year build to just hang out in the playoffs and to be a playoff team, but to not be a championship team. So that has always been, I think, our argument or the argument against. And it's not even just Draper. It's when we talk to Brendan and Frankie, maybe that's not so bad. A lot of times they'll say to not make a hasty move.
Sure.
That's the balance. You don't want to make a hasty move. But the rest of the Western Conference, and dare I say the league, is moving at light speed here.
I understand that. I would still push back, and I'm definitely still more on the conservative side than the aggressive side of this. As I've said, like, I don't think the big move is the one to make right now. Mm-hmm. I just think that the fear or the risk, if you will, of going in and just saying, oh my gosh, these other teams might leapfrog us is, I mean, the funny thing is Kevin O'Connor literally started that clip by saying, is this making you the championship favorite? No.
Right.
But it makes you more fun and closer.
It puts you in the conversation.
But, like, that's it. Like, I don't know. Like, it is, you could argue maybe it's the worst of, like, would you rather be a team that always gets eliminated in the first round or a team that, you know, gets eliminated in the third round but still doesn't have that championship capability? I don't know. I mean, and we none of us know, and that's the risk of doing this, but I don't know. I feel like I don't want to be the team that does the thing that the Timberwolves did last year or that the Cavs did trying to go all in on Donovan Mitchell. You can't just give up all your assets in the hope of trying to leapfrog people and get in front of line and hope that you're the next one up. I think you have to try and build something that's going to be here for 4 or 5 years. It can't just be, we're going to try and win a title in the next 2 years, and then after that, we're kind of screwed. We went all in for these next 2 years. To me, it's a lot better for this Kings team that has De'Aaron, who's 25, 26 years old, Sabonis in that same age range. Makes a lot more sense for those guys to be entering the championship window when they're 28, when De'Aaron's 28, when Sabonis is pushing 30. Like, to me, that makes a lot more sense in terms of when those guys' careers are probably more ready to win. And then that gives Keegan Murray a couple more years to develop and figure things out as well.
Really, it just comes down to, for me, are you trying to make moves, or how long do you want to be in a position where it's, hey, we're putting ourselves in the position of we have a chance to win and could win it all.
Yeah.
Maybe not likely, but could win it all, versus, hey, we've put ourselves into a position to where we should win it all.
Yeah.
Right? And if you try to get to that should too soon, you could blow everything up. That's the one side of it. Or you could get stuck in the could, when the could is a lowercase c and there's not really a good chance. So I don't have the right answer.
Right?
I don't have the right answer. I know who I wouldn't move. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's that could versus should. And if you get stuck in the middle, then again, you can use any example you want for a lot of playoff teams who just never really scared anybody.
Sure.
And you don't want to be there. I think the best argument for this is Kevin O'Connor thinks it's time to make that move now. It might just not be time to make that move now.
Yeah, right.
That's really it. It's not about never making the move. Mm-hmm.
And that's it right there to me. It's why does it have to be right? Like, why make the move for the sake of making a move? Make a move. And Sean, again, great guest, man. Sean said so much in that interview. Definitely go check it out. But I thought he was right in saying, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know if the Kings are really a Pascal Siakam away either. Like, I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought there.
No,
I don't know. I feel like we're just talking in circles about, not us, but I just feel like the conversation just keeps going in circles of, okay, yeah, you could hop on now, but there's also the future, and can you give up on Keegan Murray? I mean, yeah, and the frustrating thing is, I don't think there is a, like you said, none of us have the answers. I don't think there is a right answer. It's more just, are you willing to take the risk? And, you know, I think the thing for me is, the reason why you don't make the trade now is because there's just going to be better fits down the line. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the Kings should try and bring in a guy just because there's a window open and there's people available. To me, like, OG makes a lot more sense for this roster than Pascal does. Wait for the next OG to become available. Don't just hop on Pascal because he's the next name up.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that we've kind of read from what we've read and from what we've heard, the Kings did a bit of a deeper dive. They were trying for OG, so do you want this consolation prize that might not fit as well? Obviously, he's a baller. It's not about Pascal Siakam not being a baller. It's about fit, and it's about what that price tag is going to be.
Also, how about this? I want to get your thoughts on this. How weird is it that we just played two sounds of audio a day apart, and two guys who are really invested and in on news breaking and in with league sources? You got Jake Fisher saying the Kings were really close to getting OG, and then you have Kevin O'Connor saying, my understanding is the Kings weren't close. It was just due diligence, really, and they just made calls.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of that is also telling of nobody knows anything?
Which is good.
Even the people who claim to know things clearly have completely different sourcing on something that's already happened. Mm-hmm. And so how much information, how much of this is just agents, how much of this is actually even true, is another factor of this. Like, we don't know if Pascal Siakam, like we were talking about earlier, is he really even available, or is this all part of some big leverage thing for Toronto? I don't know, because again, if you have two huge outlets or two huge major players in this thing reporting two completely opposite things, and I'm not saying they're making it up, I'm just saying I think that that tells you that it kind of depends on who you ask within the organization for, you know, what they'll tell you in terms of who's available, who's not, and how close deals are to getting done.
Yeah, got to get to a break. When we get back, a little bit of Niners talk. We'll talk about the Pro Bowl. We'll talk about who got snubbed. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.